Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. It's a beautiful day, and I'm so very, very happy to come to you one more time. And I've got a special show lined up for you. If you have been following us for any length of time, you know that once a month we have a very special guest in the form of Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. We are very, very honored, humbled, and blessed to have somebody of his caliber, his character, with us. And tonight we're going to be discussing a very important topic, and one that you will be able to benefit from if you have the mind to listen. Okay, a lot of stuff happens. A lot of times information comes to us, and because we just don't listen, we miss out on what it is that could benefit us, maybe what even God is saying to us. So I encourage everybody, when you hear this information, actually listen. You're going to be speaking with a medical doctor tonight. This is not somebody that, you know, your cousin knows somebody whose uncle heard of somebody. This is a medical doctor who's been practicing medicine for years. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Watkins. Dr. Watkins graduated from the Howard University College of Medicine in 1977, and he works in Washington, D.C., and specializes in general practice and family medicine. And it is without further ado, I want to hurry up so I can get to my guest and we can get into this awesome interview that we've got lined up for you. Dr. Watkins, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine, my brother. Great to have you back. I know this show is going to be exciting. How you been, sir?
I'm doing extremely well. I've been doing very well. I'm glad
Wonderful.
To be back with you this evening.
It's an honor. Again, as I stated, I'm humbled, and I always look forward when I have an opportunity to speak to somebody that is an expert in what they do. You know, there are a lot of people out here sharing information, and there are a lot of people out here that just don't know what they're talking about. And you have to be extremely careful today, as always, who you listen to, because everybody that says they know doesn't know. You know, some very well-meaning people share information and they just don't know the facts. And so we're going to be talking facts tonight, and we're going to be talking about a very important topic. Warning, the dangers of cheese. But before we get into the topic of the discussion, I see some new listeners have tuned in, and so let me first welcome them. Welcome everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine. If you're just tuning in for the very first time, glad to have you. To all of the listeners who have been following for a very long time, I want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for riding with us on this journey. And so, Dr. Watkins, for those who are tuning in for the very first time, again, you have a very powerful testimony about how you got into holistic health. I mean, being a medical doctor, there are not a lot of medical doctors that are into holistic health, and I think that your story is very, very interesting. I never get tired of hearing it. It's so inspiring. could you talk about what got you into holistic health for those who might be hearing you for the first time?
Well, you know, my background is surgery. I did a 5-year residency in surgery at Howard University Hospital, and I had the honor of being taught by Dr. LaSalle D. LaFall, who was the chairman of the Department of Surgery, and his outstanding team there. And I was looking forward to a long year of cutting people. And I don't brag, but I was pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But about my third year in surgery, I'd gone into surgery because a group of us had come together about my freshman year in medical school, and he said, look, when we finish, we're going to come together, and we're not going to work for the church, but we're going to work in the church, and we're going to do a self-supporting ministry, health ministry down south. And so I had that third year, I was doing a rotation through the VA hospital in Tuskegee, Alabama, 3-month rotation. And while there, I looked up a friend of mine who I'd gone to boarding academy with at college, and I said, look, I'm looking for some land. And he introduced me to a guy who was keeping black land and black hands. And he showed me this land in Coosa County, Alabama. Lord have mercy. 225 acres. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. And there was enough lumber on the land to basically pay for the land. So once we cleared the land, you know, the area that we wanted to clear, we would basically have the land for nothing. So I arranged to have these guys come down right after Thanksgiving. And my wife came. But one of the guys said, I can't come. My wife will not move south. And I was upset. You know, I told him, who runs his house, he or his wife?
Oh, you got all of his business, huh?
See, I was early in marriage, so I was foolish. But anyway, and then the other guy came. He came from Ohio. He had already, he was ahead of us by about 3 years, and so he was already in practice. And he came. I showed him all around because I'd done my homework, brother. I met with the checked the hospitals out. I checked the, you know, Better Business Bureau. I checked housing and schooling and everything, man. And so I wine and dined him for the weekend. And Sunday I was carrying him back to Atlanta because the way this land was like in between Atlanta, Montgomery, and Birmingham. It was just central, man. It was outstanding. So we drive him back, my wife in the back seat of the car. And he said, I can't come. I said, what you say? I can't come. So, I mean, it was a not a pleasant scene. I was crying because of this loss of his dream. He was crying because his friend, his best friend, didn't understand. And at any rate, we years later, I found out that he had a legitimate reason not to come. But meanwhile, I asked God, you know, fussing the guy, what am I going to do? And he told me to leave surgery. I said, no. You don't understand. I'm good with this knife. He said, no, you don't understand. And so after 2 years, I did leave surgery. And the rest of it is basically history.
You know, what's interesting about that is that, you know, I started off the show talking about people listening and the importance of people hearing and listening, and you listened. You know, I'm sure you left out the nuts and the bolts as far as how you must have wrestled with the idea of leaving surgery after having gone to school and, you know, studying whatever, you know, curriculum was that prepared you for that career. And then
it was more than that, because surgery, you know, is viewed by many as the top of medicine, you know. And with my little project background, I mean, I felt powerful with that knife in my hand, you know. When the surgeon speaks, people listen.
That's true.
And you know, but God said, look, I have a better plan for you. And so it was not easy to listen. I'll be very honest. I wish I could tell you that I immediately said, you know, hear, Lord, thy servant. You know, listen, you know, but I did not. But after wrestling for a while, I never threw it out of my mind. I kept praying about it, seeking, and then I felt comfortable, and I left. And I have not looked back since that time.
Well, you still stayed in the healing business, in the healing business, as now you're healing people, you're educating people, and tonight we're going to be talking about the dangers of cheese. Now,
I want to correct you, if I may. I'm now in the healing business. When I was in surgery, I was not in the healing business.
Okay.
Because, you know, what I've come to realize is that medicine in general does not heal. Now, if a person has a acute appendicitis and, something of that sort where you know, or a ruptured appendix, and they need someone to go in and operate real quick and, you know, the obstructive bowel places where surgery really can do some healing. But in general, you go and cutting the pancreas, I mean, cutting the gallbladder out. You know, well, I mean, you're doing that electively. God made a gallbladder for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have to recognize is that in order to really be healed, you have to get to the root of the problem and you have to reverse the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to get off, but that's just such a, to me, it's such an important distinction that
yes,
that when you follow a natural approach and you get to the root and you reverse it, then you've been healed.
Well, thank you for that distinction, and you're absolutely right. And you think about surgery is once you cut it out, you can't put it back. So it's
you can't put it back.
So, again, to all of the listeners, if you listen online during the course of this discussion, if you'd like to join in the conversation or you have a question for Dr. Watkins, if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1. If you're listening online, you can just call in at 347-324-5727. Okay, doctor, let's get into the crux of this discussion tonight. We're talking about the dangers of cheese. Now, as I was preparing for the interview, I was thinking, okay, you know, it could have been a broader discussion, which would have been the dangers of dairy, but you specifically chose cheese, and you chose cheese for a reason to hone in on cheese as opposed to just other forms of dairy, which we can discuss in the conversation as well.
Dairy in general is bad, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But most people recognize that. I mean, I seldom get a person coming into my office bragging that they drink milk. I mean, seldom. Now, I'm sure that there are people like that because, you know, I get a select group of people. People who are generally interested in changing their lifestyles or interested in not necessarily following the traditional approach. And so I have a select group, a skewed population, if you please. But even in this skewed population, I'll let them tell me about the fact that they drink almond milk and cashew milk or, you know, coconut milk. I'll let them talk about that. And then I'll come back and I'll say, well, what about, do you eat cheese?
Mm-hmm.
And a good number of them will say, yes, I do. So they don't drink milk, but they eat cheese. Now, it takes up 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of cheese. So if milk is bad, cheese is 10 times worse. All right, and so that's part of the issue. The other issue is fat. One of the other issues is fat. You know, cheese is the number one source of saturated fat in this country. The number one source of saturated fat in our diets comes from cheese. All right.
Yeah,
and we know that fat kills, especially saturated fat. And so that's a problem. And then there's that good old protein. The name of it is casein. Casein is the number one protein in cheese. And casein is associated with many, many disorders. I try to get my kidney patients off of dairy, off of meat protein, dairy protein. And casein is a bad protein for the kidneys. But casein also is a bad protein for cancer. And so, you know, that is an issue that we have to deal with.
You know, doctor, when we're talking about cheese specifically, I'm sure that there are people out there who would say, well, what about cheese substitutes then? You know, if cheese is that bad for you, first of all, the question would be, and or dairy, why do they allow it? Why is the, you know, why is that even something that we can purchase and just go to the store and readily, you know, consume? But what's equally interesting is that people who have had diseases or complications related to dairy and or specifically cheese, when they eliminate the cheese from the diet, the situations clear up. And yet, with that information, people still wrestle with that. If you could talk for a moment about conscious choices, because everything that we eat, everything when we put grab something and put it in our mouth, it is a conscious choice, and it's a choice between life or death. Can you talk about
that? Let me give a little information first, and then let's come back to the choice. Because in order to make a choice, you need to have information, and you need to have honest information. There are reasons that people eat cheese. They eat cheese because they've been told that cheese is an excellent source of protein. All right? They eat cheese because they've been told that cheese is an excellent source of calcium. All right? And so these are reasons that people eat cheese. But let's break this down. I've already told you that the protein in cheese, casein, causes cancer. Dr. Campbell, Colin Campbell, who wrote the book The China Study, who was the past chairman of nutritional science at Cornell University, did an experiment with rats, and he varied the concentration of casein. And what he found is this: when he gave these rats, who were also given a fungus that would make them more susceptible to getting liver cancer, when he gave them 5% casein, they had no growth of cancer. When he increased it to 20%, the cancer grew. When he decreased it back down to 5%, the cancer stopped growing. He increased it to 20%, the cancer grew. 5%, the cancer, like a yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
Just by adjusting the dose, the concentration of casein in the diet, the cancers grew. And so that is a very, very, very important thing to understand. I talked about arthritis. The protein in dairy tends to produce mucus, which helps to increase the inflammatory process going on in our joints, and is really a major problem there. We've been told that calcium is good, that cheese is a good source of calcium, and calcium helps the bones to not fracture, especially as we get older. Well, there was a very, very interesting study with some nurses. It was a very large study, I believe. I haven't looked at it recently, but I believe it was something like 20,000 nurses. And it was a longitudinal study. They looked at these people for at least 5 years. And what they found was that the nurses that had the highest rate of cheese had at least a 50% increase chance of fracture. So cheese did not decrease fractures. Cheese increased fractures.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you look at the countries with the lowest rates of cheese intake, they have the lowest rate of fractures. And as the cheese increases, the fracture rate increases proportionately. It is amazing how true that is, and that's a known fact. Much research has been done on this, and so that's good. In the China study, they gave these Chinese ladies who were in their 90s three glasses of milk. And what they found was that the there was a negative nitrogen balance.
Was that per day?
Three glasses of milk a day.
Okay.
And there was a negative nitrogen balance. What that means is that the kidneys start spitting out bone and calcium because of the intake of the milk. And so cheese is milk times 10. So cheese is just not good. Now, choices. See, now once we get this information, then we have to make a choice. You know, I spoke at a church a few months back, and I told them, I said, now after I leave here, if you have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, it's because you want to have type 2 diabetes. Because I'm telling you how to reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose not to, that's on you. A choice is when we know what that our decision will make a difference. And we choose the bad in spite of that knowledge. That's a very poor choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say people make those choices all the time. And I used to say, boy, they just want to die. That they made a conscious decision to die. And what I found out was that they never really made a conscious decision to die. But they didn't make a conscious decision that they were going to do everything they could to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And by default, if you please, they chose to die. Because by doing what they were doing, following the lifestyle that they were following, they were going to increase their risk of all kinds of chronic diseases. And if the left one wouldn't get them, the right one would. And so, yes, it's a choice, but it's not that you just said, I'm going to eat bad food because I want to die. That's not the way people make that choice.
You know, Doctor, there may be somebody that's listening right now to this show, either live or somebody that will listen, and they're hearing this, and they cannot disagree with you. Matter of fact, they couldn't agree with you more. But they may have been, you know, over the years just making declaration after declaration, you know, I'm going to get this diet thing straight. I'm going to get it right this year. You know, I'm going to stop. I got to stop. You know, I'm tipping the scales. You know, I can't do this anymore. I can't fit into my clothes anymore. You know, I want to make some changes. But for whatever reason, are finding it difficult and have found it difficult for years. Now, maybe this interview will be the one. Maybe this information that they hear presented in your unique way will be the interview or the information shared that will click, make that light go on and give them the power or at least the determination to try it again. Because people, like you mentioned about the choices and, you know, making other choices by default, you know, people are addicted to food, you know, addicted to sugar, addicted to cheese. So how would you...
Cheese actually has an addictive quality. I was talking about this the other day, and you know, Dr. Lathan, she made the point that there's a hormone in the milk that God placed there to keep the calf in contact with the cow, all
mm-hmm.
right? But since we're not calves and we're not sucking from a cow, we don't need it. But it's still there, and it affects a certain area of the brain that causes us to want more, so that cheese actually is an addictive substance that just draws us, sucks us in. It's just so amazing.
Anybody ever tasted Lido's pizza knows exactly what you're talking about.
Look here, man. When I first found that 60 to 90% of all the calories of cheese came from fat. I said, oh, Lord, not Melito's pizza. It's not Melito's. You know, but the thing is, it's not just the cheese.
Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you say it's not just the cheese?
It's not just the cheese. It's the addictive hormone in the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that pulls us in, so that we actually become addicted to the cheese,
mm-hmm.
and we just love it. You know, even though we know it's killing us, even though it's stopping our nose up and giving us headaches, and we just keep eating it. Oh boy, isn't it good?
mm-hmm.
And one of the terrible things is that when you go to church, brother. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Come on, Doc.
You're going to find some of the highest concentration of cheese. You know?
Macaroni?
I mean, macaroni and cheese, or just cheese and crackers, and just cheese and cheese. I mean, it's just cheese. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're eating it, and we're dying. Diabetes. You know, cheese makes you fat. Diabetes is one of the major sources of diseases. And we just are eating macaroni and cheese. So not only are you getting the cheese, but you're getting the processed wheat, all right, which is going to give you the gluten intolerance. Going to set up you to be all acidic, you know. It's going to stimulate, you know, the autoimmune diseases. And so I'm telling you, our diets are just horrible. And we don't even understand how bad they are.
Doc, could you talk about some other of the, you mentioned arthritis, you mentioned diabetes, you mentioned cancer. There may be somebody out here that either has either of those or some other ones that haven't been mentioned. Could you mention some of the other diseases that might be directly linked to cheese consumption?
Well, I mentioned obesity. You gotta talk about obesity.
Okay.
Because obesity is just a major, major problem and becomes one of the leading causes of death in our country. And something else that you have to consider is allergies. All kinds
mm-hmm.
of allergies and sinusitis is associated with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I remember when I had my allergies and I used to get headaches and they would be so bad. But I would eat my cheese, man.
Hmm.
I would eat my cheese. But once I learned how bad cheese was, I just left it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the amazing things is that I really don't miss it. Matter of fact, I don't want it
mm-hmm.
because I know how it makes me feel.
You know, that's interesting because sometimes you could have been on a diet, a particular diet, for so long, and let's say, for example, if you've been eating bad since birth, even, you know, and most people who've grown up here in this country, if they weren't born to vegan or vegetarian parents, vegan particularly, then you grew up eating meat and dairy and all of the bad stuff, and if you're still eating that and never took a break from it, you think that the way you're feeling is natural, so because you have nothing else to compare it to. So if you, for example, here's Dr. Watkins talking about, hey, you know, just, you know, if you let it go, you'll feel better. You, if you don't know, if you've never felt better because you've always been eating it, just that statement is foreign because your body is so used to feeling what it's feeling, and that's all you know, you really don't have anything to compare it to.
I tell my patients, I said, when I was in school, I never tried to get a C. I never went to a class and said, oh, boy, just let me make a C. Regardless of the class, I wanted to make an A. Now, whether I made the A or not is a different issue. But I certainly didn't go seeking a C. The question was I willing to do the work sufficient to get the A? But I certainly didn't. I either wanted to earn it or I wanted to just give me the A. You know, I don't care. You know,
right.
I ain't too proud to beg. Give me the A. Don't give me a C.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is that too many of us are settling for C's when it comes to our health and not the A.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize that we are worth the very best, and we don't have to settle for less.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if you start thinking like that, then you will not have problems with not being able to beat an opponent because they somehow have some moves. You know, you can do whatever is necessary.
You know what's very to me, Doctor? One of the things that I find extremely inspiring is when I see pictures before and after pictures of people who you might take somebody that was obese and the before picture, and then you see the after picture. And what's so inspiring about that is that when I see the after picture and they're standing there and they're looking proud, you know, they're looking, you can see the gleam in their eye and the smile on their face and the expression is like, I did it. And you know the work that went into that. You know, when you look at that picture, that it didn't happen in a week. It didn't happen in 2 weeks. It might have took months. It might have took years, but they stuck with it, and they were dedicated and committed to changing their lifestyle, and they did it. And that's so inspiring. Could you talk about the work that's necessary to do it? Because it starts with a choice to do
before,
it.
Before the work
mm-hmm.
comes the attitude. I do a call every Wednesday called Wellness Wednesday. I've been doing it now for over 3 years, and it's one of the Five Link teams started the call. I'm not a member of Five Links, but you know, they asked me to do it, and one thing led to another, and I've been doing it now for going on 4 years. Now, one of the persons in the Five Links call develop diabetes. The doctor said pre-diabetes, but when you looked at the numbers, he was not pre-diabetic. He was diabetic. And so the doctor wanted to put him on medicine. As a matter of fact, he wanted to put him on 3 different medications. And he said, I'm not going that way. I'm going to contact Dr. Watkins. And he called me from Connecticut. And I put him on first my fasting program, which we've talked about on the program, and then
mm-hmm.
I put him on a raw diet. And I'm telling you, this guy first put a picture of himself before, then he put a picture of himself after he did the 14-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been texting and writing blogs for himself. You know, he's been really out there promoting the kinds of foods that he's eating, giving out
mm-hmm.
recipes. You know, he's been excited about, you know, living a longer walk, a life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was told that he would not be able to live, he was told he wouldn't be able to live,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he chose to do it anyway. And I think it's his excitement, his enthusiasm, is, you know, I the back door is nailed up. I can only go forward. Type of attitude is what he has, and I believe that's one of the reasons why he's doing so well.
Now the work, because it's going to take work.
The work. Okay. Once you have the attitude, and then you say, Lord, I'm going to need some help, then you got to work. You got to, like I said, I put people on a fasting program. That's not really so hard, to be honest, but you have to use some discipline. You have to decide you're going to choose to live and not choose to die. But you have to make that choice. You have to follow that choice up with some form of action plan. So you got to start acting. Sometimes standing still is the biggest action you can do. But you know, that's something that we have to consider. You know, so action is a critical thing. And you know, the one thing that I tend to cover one topic, because you have to do the research. You know, if you're gonna get out and you're gonna do something. So if you're gonna change your diet, you got to do some research. You got what foods you want to eat. You know, how to prepare them to make them taste good. Because see, if you're going to be on a program that's going to be sustained, the food has to taste good.
That's true.
If it doesn't, you're not going to do it long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the work, you know, getting the knowledge, being able to stay away from your old friends or choose new friends.
Very important.
You know, that's an issue that is critically important, because if you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep hanging with people who are eating a whole lot of cheese, you're going to eat some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just have a little piece.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, Doug, let's talk about cholesterol for a moment. If we can, because, you know, there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and cheese tends to have an effect on the bad cholesterol. Could you talk about cholesterol and how that relates to this discussion on cheese?
Well, cheese has a lot of saturated fat, which goes to form cholesterol, and it has some cholesterol itself, because it has various organs, which has cholesterol in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major, major issue.
You know, shows like this, Doctor, are so important, and I want to encourage everybody I want to remind everybody that you're listening to a medical doctor. You're not listening to your friend's boyfriend's cousin's aunt's nephew's friend, okay? You're listening to somebody who was a surgeon, somebody who knows the body and knows the effects of what we put in the body, knows the effects that, good or bad, that what we ingest has on the body. So it's going to be important to listen. Okay, now you can take this information and hear it and go out and get a cheeseburger. I mean, again, that choice is yours. Some may do that. Okay, but know this. You heard this show, okay? And every time you pick up a piece of cheese from this day forward, you can't say that you didn't know or that you hadn't heard. And you're accountable now and responsible now for the information that you heard. And the information that you heard came to you free. You didn't have to pay for this interview. This interview came to you for free, okay? Now, if this information doesn't apply to you directly, it applies to somebody that you know, or else you wouldn't have heard it, okay? Your spirit brought you to this information. So it's either for you or it's either for somebody that you know. So if it's for somebody you know, you can always share the link, okay? And you can always go back and listen to the archives. And I encourage you to listen to this show again and again and again, because there are many of us, Doc, who are vegetarian, vegan, who have made major drastic changes in our lifestyle. We've let go of the meat. We've let go of most dairy or all dairy or whatever, but you might find you might eat a little sweets. You know, you might still have issues with sugar, or you might still have issues with salt. I mean, we can always get better. But for those vegetarians who consider themselves vegan, but every now and then they might have a little, you know, a slice of pizza or, you know, a slice of cheese on something, now you know the harmful effects of it. It's not just a simple thing. Cheese is worse than milk. Okay, you heard it today. Doc, could you also talk about just when it comes to cheese, you mentioned that it's worse than milk. And I think that is worth restating, because there might be somebody who tuned in just now, and if you didn't hear the show from the top of the hour, you heard me right. Doctor said that cheese was worse than milk. How so is that, Doctor? Again, could you repeat that for those who might be just tuning in?
Well, first of all, cheese is made from milk, and 1 pound of cheese requires 10 pounds of milk. You know, or 10 pounds of milk goes to make 1 pound of cheese, and so cheese is a highly concentrated food, which we know, and you know that's just the bottom line. Cheese is concentrated milk.
So with that high concentration of milk, then you're getting cheese like to the 10th, or milk to the 10th power, as you stated earlier. What about sodium, Doc? I was doing some research and I found that cheese is high in sodium, which is bad for your heart. Could you talk about that?
Well, yeah, they put the salt in there in the processing to try to stabilize cheese, you know, and so what you have to do is nothing, you know, I'm not going to eat it because it's high in salt. We need salt, but it's high in sodium. We need potassium, because potassium actually will help to bring the blood pressure down, but whereas sodium will carry the blood pressure up.
Doc, I know that there are going to be people that want to get in contact with you. And to those who are listening online, again, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. My special guest today is Dr. Ted Watkins, M.D. And if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on and you can ask your question. Doc, let's share your information with the listeners so that in case they want to get in contact with you, because I'm sure that there's going to be somebody that who might not hear this show live and won't be able to ask their question on the air, but they might want to get in contact with you. How can they reach you?
My office number is 202-388-0992. That's area code 202-388-0992.
Doc, you also do a show on WPFW. Can you give the time of that show for that, so that people in the call letters, so that people who want to, that's syndicated, isn't that not?
It's not syndicated, but I do it on Mondays at 2 o'clock on 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., or they can go online at www.wpfwfm.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at 2 o'clock on Mondays. The show is entitled To Your Health.
Everybody, you definitely want to tune into that, because, again, Dr. Watkins is, just very, very well-versed in all aspects of holistic health. And today we're talking about cheese. We've discussed heart disease, adrenal fatigue, you name it. So you definitely want to tune in to that show as well as this show. Now, Doc, let's talk about a term that people use all the time when justifying what it is that people want to do. And that phrase is everything in moderation, you know, that, and the thought process is that, you know, hey, as long as I don't overdo it, you know, then I'm good. But when it comes to that, people don't know when they're overdoing it, you know? So, I mean,
well,
what is the barometer by which you gauge whether you've overdone it?
I believe moderation is an important thing. And some things can be taken in moderation. You know, I remember driving to Cleveland, which is my home. And I was by myself, and I was thinking deeply, trying to solve all the problems in the world as I was driving, a very pensive mood. And as I drove into Cleveland, right by Lake Erie, there was a storm brewing. And the thought came to me that we cannot live without water, but too much will kill us. And so we have to be temperate with good things, but you don't need to be temperate with bad things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're allergic to dairy, and about 75% of the population of the world is, because they, you know, especially folk of dark skin, then you need to stay away from it because it's going to cause a problem. Now, it may not be a problem that causes you to lose your life, but there are often reactions occurring in our bodies that are very subtle, but over time can really add up and cause major, major problems. And so if it's a problem, then we just don't want to eat it. And
mm-hmm.
and I think if you take that attitude, decide to never eat cheese, or if you're going to get some cheese, get a good substitute. You mentioned substitutes, and I never talked about them, but you get a good substitute, and then you have to read the packet because, you know, it'll say vegetarian cheese or vegan cheese, and you read it, and you'll find out that it has some casein in it, you know? Well, if it has
mm-hmm.
casein in it, it's not vegan, you know? So you have to be very, very careful of what you're getting into your body to make sure that it is what they say that it is.
Well, what do you say, Doctor, to people who think that a vegan diet is too restrictive? You know, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't have salt, you can't have sugar, you can't eat dairy, you can't eat meat, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, and the list goes on and on and on and on. What do you say to people? What is your response to people who think that it's restrictive?
Well, there are some restrictions. You know, if you are by the Beltway and cars are moving at 55, 60 miles an hour, or even 20 miles an hour, you know, but 60, 65 miles an hour, and you walk out there, you're going to get killed. So you
mm-hmm.
there's a restriction. Don't cross the Beltway. You know, some restrictions are good for us, you know, and so, and you restrict yourself. You're just not going to walk across that Beltway. You're going to say, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to face the fact that God knows more than we know. And if he says that it's bad for us, or if he shows you that it's bad, you know, then you need to wake up and recognize that it's bad. And when you clean your system out, even if you take in a small amount of cheese, you'll notice that many people will develop nasal congestion. I mean, just a small piece of cheese
mm-hmm.
will cause nasal congestion. It is so powerful. I know I've done it. And so I know that it's the truth, at least for me. And so I try to stay away from it, period.
You know, Doc, there are people out there right now that may be listening to this show, and they find themselves in a place that they never thought that they would be. You know, they got a bad report from the doctor. They didn't know that they were on the road to poor health. They may have felt certain signs along the way but ignored them. And now here they are, where they are, listening to this show, wishing that they had heard this information years ago, wishing that they had made other choices. But, again, you didn't hear this show by accident. You heard this show for a reason. And you are where you are. But thank God you're alive to hear this information. And so, Doc, for those people that have, as a result of poor choices, might, you talked about obesity, might find themselves needing to shed some weight, might have heart conditions because of clogged arteries, maybe related to cheese and saturated fat and cholesterol and all of these things. And they're hearing this show and they're like, well, okay, there are a lot of things that I got to cut out. I got to cut out meat. I got to cut out sugar. I got to cut out salt. Where do I start? Which one should I start with? Which one should they start with, Doc? Because reasonably think that somebody's going to do it all at one time might be a stretch. What would be your advice to somebody that is hearing this show and they need to make all of it?
I don't take that attitude. If you need to stop, you stop. All right. Now we help people by putting them on our cleansing program, and it's much easier to make a change after that. But if you're going to cheat, choose one. I would stop cheese. I tell people all the time, I believe that cheese is worse than meat, you know, in your diet. It's not an old statement. Not a new statement. It's an old statement. I believe cheese is worse than milk. And I base it on the fact that it is, meat. It is associated with a bunch of allergies. It does have all that fat. It does have all that protein in it. That really is very, very bad for you. I would start with the cheese, and I would get off of that, and then I would go from there.
Doc, we have a few minutes remaining. This is powerful, powerful information, and I'm sure that there are many people that are being inspired to take it to the next level. There are people who may have been vegetarian who are listening to the show, not quite vegan, but might have been on the fence when it comes to making the decision to, you know, just go all out vegan. And hearing this show can help them make that conscious choice that, you know what, after hearing this show, it's time to make that change and go all the way with this. What do you say to vegetarians? What would be your advice to vegetarians, people who have said, you know, for conscious, healthy reasons, I'm going to stop eating meat, and, you know, it don't take all that. You know, some people might feel like, you know, hey, I stopped eating meat. I let the meat go. You know, I can't let it all go. You know what I mean? I'll just stop eating meat.
I was a vegetarian for many years. I became a vegetarian at age 10. But I was ignorant. And when I learned that 60 to 90% of all fat in cheese, 60 to 90% of all calories in cheese came from fat, I hollered, oh, my Litos, you know, not my Litos, you know, but I quit because being vegetarian was not enough. I had to become vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was what one of my buddies called a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to even think about it. If cheese is going to be that detrimental to me, then I don't want cheese, the bottom line.
You know, Doc, you remind me of someone that sounds the alarm and doesn't play. You know, you're not playing with it. You're not. You know, there are some people who have a soft message you know. But I always take the position that if your house is on fire and you're laying in the bed asleep and you don't smell the smoke because you're sleeping, you don't feel the heat, if somebody comes to you and gently, you know, nudges your pillow and softly whispers, you know, the house is on fire, you know, I think you need to get up, you might not move because you're knocked out, you're in a deep sleep. But if somebody comes and, you know, cuts the light on, you know, snatches the pillow from under your head, grabs you by the ankles and drags you out to bed, then you're more inclined to be get to safety. And you remind me of that person as like, look, this is the deal. You know, take it or leave it. The choice is yours. Either you're going to choose to live or you're going to choose to die. And even if it's not, oh, I'm going to choose to die on purpose, you'll die on accident just by eating the way that you do and not making those changes.
Yeah, I try not to be hard-hearted about it. I have studied this area, and I understand the tremendous pull that food has for us. But to be honest, I'm tired of seeing us die. I'm tired of seeing us sick, you know, and death is real, you know. These diseases are real. Diabetes is real. It's the number one cause of blindness. It's the number one cause of amputation. It increased the risk of heart attacks by 50%. Strokes are increased. I mean, I'm just tired of seeing people sick and die needlessly. And so I'm looking for people who are crazy enough to change. And I call them crazy because I'm crazy. See, I'm crazy. I don't want no stuff. I want, let's go on and hit this thing. Let's hit it hard and let's make the changes. And then what we have to do is we have to ask God for the strength to make the change, because it is difficult. Especially when you're trying to do it on your own. And so you got to say, Lord, you got to help me. I've tried. I failed. If I must do it, if I'm going to do it, you must do it, and you must do it all by yourself, and I give you permission. When we pray that prayer, which I first heard from this, at the time, he's in California now, but at the time he was in Lincoln, Nebraska, he preached a sermon, and he gave that, he used that illustration, and I said, oh, man, that is powerful. And we have to make a decision that we're going to give up on trying to run our own lives, and we're going to let God run them for us. And if we do that, then we can make those changes that heretofore have seemed impossible for us to make.
You know, you spoke about God, and I think that the churches could play a very large role in this change. We're talking about individuals making changes because where people actually go to worship, wherever their place of worship is, oftentimes fellowship is centered around food, and oftentimes the bad food. Like you mentioned, you go in the church, you're going to see cheese. You know, you're going to see the macaroni and cheese. You're going to see all kinds of dishes made with different dairy and so forth. So I want to encourage pastors that might be out there listening, you know, people, religious leaders that might not be in groups or systems that practice holistic health, to you can actually help to save your congregation. And then we can move on to the business of living. Because, of course, there are going to always be challenges / opportunities in life, but they don't have to be health challenges. I mean, unless you get hit by a car or, you know, you get in an accident or something and fall down and break your leg, that's one thing. But they don't have to be, oh, you've got high blood pressure, you know what I mean, or you got diabetes. I mean, you can't get hit by a car and get diabetes. That has to come from a lifestyle. You can't get hit by a car and, you know, get cancer as a result of being hit by the car. You know what I mean? That's going to be a lifestyle thing. So could you talk, Doc, in the final moments, just about that need to make that lifestyle change? Because, again, there's stuff that God put us here to do, and if we're sick, we can't do what God put us here to do.
Dr. Watson? The question, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yes, that if, could you talk about just the need to make that change? because God has put us here for a reason. And if
right.
we're here for a reason, but we can't do what the purpose of our being born is because we're in the hospital sick, you know, with something that could be prevented, then...
Yes, yes. That's a waste. Mm-hmm. The big, you know, someone says that the richest place is the grave, you know, because all these buried talents. You know, God has been good to us. He's given us gifts, rich, rich gifts, but we have to use them, you know. And I go through a big thing with my patients, just about all of them. I ask them what their passion is, what is God's purpose. You got to develop a plan and ask God to help you develop a plan to achieve your passion and His purpose, and then you got to produce the plan, you know. And so it's not easy to do what we have to do, but we got to do it anyway. You know, I was telling someone the other, maybe even today, I think it was today, I was telling this young man that if I flunked out of med school. There's no excuse that I could give that would satisfy people, you know. You either
mm-hmm.
made it or you didn't,
mm-hmm.
you know. You Dr. Watkins or you missed them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
it. So, you know, Les Brown said, when you've done the best you can, it's not sufficient, do what's necessary. You know, we have to recognize that there comes a point in time that we just have to quit playing games. Get down and do what's necessary. And our God is so awesome, He will give us the power that we need to make the changes that we need.
You know what? That is powerful, what you just said. Our God is so powerful. He will give us what we need to make the changes that we need to make. And if people walked with that and knew that, then you have to know that especially when it comes to something that's within your control, like your health, again, unless you were in an accident or something, or unless you were maybe born with some deformity or something. But there are far too many cases, like Dr. Watkins says, of people dying prematurely. It just reminds me of I was speaking with someone once, and their position was this, and I'd like your thoughts on it, Doctor. Their position was, because I was, of course, touting the benefits of a vegan lifestyle, and his position was, well, you can't increase the time of your life on the planet. That was his position, that God's got a set day for you to go. That, you know, when it's your time to go, you're going to go, and you can't increase that time. Now, of course, I'm thinking,
I don't believe that.
I agree. I'm with you.
If that's so, then God is very arbitrary. We have no choices about anything, and we just have to do. We have to do. You know, we have to live. We have to die. You know, the way we live, the way we die, the quality of our lives. You know, it's all been predetermined. So, you know, why even try? That's a bunch of foolishness to make a difference. You know, if you study the Bible, what you'll find is that even in doing the and people who were healed by Christ, they all had to do something just about everyone that was healed had to do something before they got the healing. You know, they didn't just get it. They didn't just come. You know, they had to go pick up their bed and walk. They had to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. They had to reach out and touch the hem of the garment. They had to do something before they got their healing. You understand? So he's not arbitrary. There's nothing that I read to suggest that.
Everybody, my special guest today has been Dr. Ted Watkins. I know that you're loving this interview. And, Doctor, I would ask that you please give your information one more time for those who might just be tuning in. And I want to remind everybody that there is an archives for those who are tuning in for the first time. There's an archives. You can actually go back and listen to this show, with Dr. Watkins, as well as other shows with Dr. Watkins. All you have to do is just scroll down the list. You'll see tons of different shows, and you can just pick, take your pick. I mean, this show is about health, wealth, and your divinity. So we're going to be talking about your health, we're going to be talking about your wealth, and we're going to be talking about your spirituality. So definitely take time to scroll down and find a show that suits you. Doctor, could you please give your information again for those who want to get in contact with you? I know that they do. And can they set an appointment to call you? Do you do consultations? I mean, if they want to talk or, you know, sit with you and maybe
yeah,
we do
phone consultations. We've even started a program, which I'm really, really excited about. And if you can call and we can give you information on it. It's a health and fitness club. It's a way to try to get people started and keep them going in the right directions so that they can succeed. But our number is 202-388-0992. That's area code 202-388-0992.
And what are your hours of operation, Doc? Can they call you on the weekend
you can call me anytime. But we're in the office on generally Tuesday through Friday, and Tuesday through Thursday is like from 9 to 5. Friday is nine to one. I actually I take my last patient at 12:30. So, that's our schedule. We try to leave the weekends for family and for travel and so forth. So, occasionally we do consultations, do phone consultations, and sometimes we do those on Sundays.
So what if somebody's in another part of the country, Doc, and they're hearing this show because it's aired, because it's internet radio, they can hear it all over the world, but they got a bad report from the doctor and they want a second opinion? Can they send you their medical records, I mean, and you review them? Or, I mean, can they contact you for something like that? Or
we do that. They can contact my office, and we do what's necessary. You know, certainly if they are in the area, it can come. It may be advantageous for them to come, but we do the other.
I would encourage everybody, if you've gone to the doctor and the doctor has given you a bad report and you haven't gotten a second opinion, okay, you need to call Dr. Watkins. I mean, and matter of fact, you might want to call Dr. Watkins to get a first opinion, and then you might not need a second one. Okay. If you definitely have had a first one and you don't like what you're hearing, then before you let them start prescribing stuff to you, you know, you have nothing to lose. Just give Dr. Watkins a call, okay? See if you can do a phone consultation, or if you're in the area, get by to see him, sit with him, share what's going on or whatever. It could be the best phone call that you ever make in your life. It could actually extend your life. So,
yeah,
Doc, I want to say, you know, for all of the work that you've been doing for so many years, I mean, on this path, before it was even popular, I mean, vegetarian and veganism is starting to catch on in our community now. Slowly but surely, it's catching on. But, I mean, it was like finding a needle in a haystack back when you started. So, I mean, just so for all the many years, all of the many patients that you've touched, I mean, you're educating people with your show on WPFW and coming on. I feel honored and blessed to have you as a guest on Health, Wealth, and Divine. Again, everybody, that's Monday at 3 o'clock. Is that correct, Doctor, on WPFW 89.3 FM? Okay, you definitely want to
FM.
Tune into that.
98.3, and it's at 2 o'clock each Monday.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock
Monday
to 2.
And what's that? They can get it online by dialing in at what? What's the call? The web address?
www.wpfwfm.org.
Awesome, Doc. Any final words for our listeners tonight?
Well, I just want to, I understand the love affair with cheese. I certainly had a love affair myself. Love Jesus, still love Jesus, but cheese does not love me. And so I told one of my patients, I said, look, you would stay with a man who was just beating you all the time. You know, no matter how much you loved him, you'd have to leave. If somebody is beating you and cheese is beating us, it's killing us, we have to let it go. And the beautiful thing is that if we're willing to let it go, God has plenty of things to replace it. I don't miss cheese. You know, I thought I would, but I don't. Because there's so many good things out there to choose from. You know, choose you this day.
Come on, Doc.
You know, and that's what we got to do. And if we do it, we're going to be blessed for it.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins, M.D. Make sure that you give him a call and make sure that you tune into the program on WPFW. That's every Monday at 2 o'clock on 89.3 FM if you're in the Washington, D.C. area. Don't miss it. Again, shares a lot of information. Please scroll down the archives on this link because Dr. Watkins is a regular. He comes on once a month. We've got other awesome, awesome guests. Dr. Ruby Lathan cured herself of thyroid cancer after the doctors told her that they wanted to take her thyroid out. We've got shows with her on the thyroid, on you name it. I mean, on obesity, on diabetes, on prostate cancer. I mean, you name it. We've talked about it. Brother Coy Dunstan, who cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon, and she was the very first person that he ever worked with. I mean, talk about the power of faith and the power of God's creation. I mean, just through the herbs and changing her diet to a livid, as I like to say. We've got other shows on the spiritual side with people like Orwa Hehimeturan Comet. We've got shows with Shekemeh Abnater. I mean, shows with Tepraim Sa'a, Sa'anta Kunanebu. I mean, we've got shows with so many powerful, powerful people. Scroll down through the archives. Definitely, you'll find something that's interesting for you and can definitely help you in the areas of your health, your wealth, and your divinity. Professor Joseph Geiger comes on and talks about entrepreneurship. Okay, he's written an awesome book, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. Check that out. Okay, so until the next time, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. May this show have been everything that you expected it to be and more. I know it was. And to Dr. Watkins, again, my brother, I bow to you, sir. I give you all honor because you, my brother, have been doing this for a long time. You've been doing it successfully, and you broke down the information again today. I knew it was going to be great, and it was. You never disappoint. And so to all of the listeners, again, make sure that you give Dr. Watkins a call. Dr. Watkins, I'll be in touch, sir. Thank you so much for your time and another wonderful interview.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Everybody, that was Dr. Ted Watkins, M.D. Again, I encourage you to give him a call. And while you're making these transitions and listening to these shows, I mean, there's always more that we can learn. Even those of us that have been on the vegan path for a while, we're not where we want to be, you know. We're still here. We're still living. So until we get there, I go back and listen to the shows all the time because I'm going back and I'm learning. I'm trying to pick up some information that I might have missed along the way. And I'm always constantly learning every time I do one of these shows. And so for those of you who are just starting on this path, and you listen to people like Dr. Watkins, you listen to people like Dr. Lathan and Brother Coy and others, and you think to yourself, I'll never get there. Yes, you will. But the only way you're going to get there is if you stay on the path. You can do this. You can do this. Transformation is going to be made once.